Good afternoon, everybody. Good to see you all. Welcome and thanks for joining Parsha Perspectives for Parsha's Shlach. I wanted to speak about one very specific idea, I think a very beautiful idea that relates to the Avodas Hashem that we all strive for, and that is the following. The bulk of Parsha's Shlach that we just read discusses Chet HaMeraglim. The vast bulk of the parsha is Chet HaMeraglim. Nearly 80 psukim talk about Chet HaMeraglim and then the punishment that because we sent them and got the bad, and we cried, we send up 40 years in the Midbar, and the group that tried to go back in to try to enter Eretz Yisrael by force, and they ended up failing. Well, right after Chet HaMeraglim, immediately after Chet HaMeraglim, the Torah introduces two mitzvos. On the very heels of Chet HaMeraglim are two mitzvos. Mitzvahs that presumably have nothing to do with Chet HaMeraglim, nothing to do with going into Eretz Yisrael. There are the mitzvahs of Nesachim and Menachos. What are those two mitzvahs? The mitzvah of Nesachim is Yayin Nesach, wine that was poured as a libation onto the Mizbeach in association with the Karbon. A Karbon would be brought, they'd pour some wine onto the corner of the Mizbeach. And Menachos, which is a Karbon Mincha. Again, in addition to the regular animals that might be brought as a Karbon, they would also bring a flour offering, a carbon mincha, flour with oil that's baked into some kind of patty or cake or pancake or matzah, and that would be brought together with the carbon. Now, it is true that the Torah introduced, right, again, after it talks about the whole Chet HaMeraglim and the 40-year punishment and the attempt to go into Eretz Yisrael by the Ma'apilim, the Torah then goes on and says, "Ki savol eretz moshav seichem, when you come to the land, ashani nosein lachem, you should bring the korban mincha when you bring korbanos. You should pour yain as you bring, your korbanos." But ostensibly, it's very difficult to understand what's the connection between the whole story of the Chet HaMeraglim, the 80 psukim Chet HaMeraglim, and that which immediately follows. The mitzvah, these mitzvahs of Nesachim, of the wine, and the menachos of the flour korbanos. This is a question of what's the connection that the Daz, the Kenan Bali Atosis asked, the Ramban asked, many of the Rishon and the Achronim all asked this question, what's the flow from the parsha of Meraglim to these two mitzvahs? So Daz, the Kenan Bali Atosis suggests the following. If you and I look at the Torah, look at the stories in the Torah, the events that occurred in the Midbar, with 20/20 hindsight, we know the end of the story. But if you try to transplant yourself and put yourself in the shoes and in the mind of the Kang of Klal Yisrael as they were in the Midbar, imagine you were just informed that you know, because of your wayward ways, because of your lack of emunah, you were told that you thought you were going to Eretz Yisrael, you know, in the next few days, the next few weeks, and you have a 40-year sentence to be staying in the Midbar. Not only that, but dying in the Midbar. But don't worry, your kids are going to go to the promised land. Don't worry about it. You might not, but your children will. So what's going to go through your head? You're going to tell yourself, 40 years? 40 years is a long time. 40 years is a chunk of a life. Is a chunk of a lifetime. What happened? Because, you know, along the way we did something wrong? Well, who's to say that 20 years down the line, 30 years down the line, 39 years down the line, maybe the next generation, maybe we in our old age, we'll do something wrong. Maybe our children will do something wrong, and then it's going to be another 30 years, and another 40 years, and another Avera will 20 years later. We'll do that, and everything's going to be, it's just going to get pushed off again. If everything has to be earned, and we're going to have to earn our way into Eretz Yisrael, we have to deserve it so perfectly, then anything that we do might mess us up, and who's to say after 40 years that we're going to make it into Eretz Yisrael? And therefore, Klal Yisrael suffered tremendous yeyush, suffered tremendous, downfalling of what's going to be. We're supposed to go in 40 years. 40 years might turn into 140. Who's to say we're ever going to go into Eretz Yisrael? And therefore, says the Daz, the Kenan Bali HaTosfos, that's why on the heel of this terrible 40-year sentence, because of the Chet HaMeraglim, the Torah continues and says, Ki savou el eretz moshav seichem, you will come into Eretz Yisrael, and you will bring the Korban Mincha, you will bring the Yayin for the Nesach, in association with the Korbanos. Be sure, be confident that you are going to go in. That's why a mitzvah that has to do with Eretz Yisrael will come right on the heels of the Meraglim. But the Ramban raises a very simple point. This mitzvah should not be related to Eretz Yisrael. We know what mitzvahs relate to Eretz Yisrael. All the mitzvahs that have to do with farming. Mitzvahs like Shemitah, which is coming up. In 13 weeks, it's going to be Shemitah. Mitzvahs that have to do with produce of Eretz Yisrael. Those are mitzvahs that are related to the farming and the living in Eretz Yisrael, so you have to do them in Eretz Yisrael. But the mitzvah of menachos, of bringing a korban mincha, we had korbanos throughout our journey through the Midbar, through those 40 years that we ended up staying in the Midbar, being stuck in the Midbar. We had a Mishkan, we had korbanos. Well, if we had korbanos in the 40 years of the Midbar, why couldn't we pour wine on the Mizbeach in those 40 years? If we had a korbanos in the 40 years in the Midbar with the animals that we sacrificed in the Midbar, why couldn't we also be makir of the korban mincha? Those pancakes or matzahs, together with the korbanos that we were makir in the Mishkan. And this is what the Ramban asked. The Ramban's bothered by, what's the significance of saying, when you get into Eretz, don't worry, you're going to get into Eretz Yisrael right after the 40-year sentence. Don't worry, you're going to get into Eretz Yisrael, and there you'll do a special mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael. Why in the world are these mitzvahs? These are not tuliyim ba'aretz. It's not a mitzvah ha'tuliyah ba'aretz. Why should this mitzvah of pouring the wine on the mizbeach, of having the pancakes or the matzah korban in association with the other korbanos, why should that be related at all to Eretz Yisrael? Why could they bring it right here in the Midbar? I'd like to share with you an insight into these two mitzvos. And with that, we can understand a very troubling Gemara, which I'll share with you in a moment. And this is a beautiful insight that Rav Kook offers in his Sefer, Ein Aya, which is a commentary or an explanation of various Gemaras and Agaditas in Shas. There's a very peculiar description or metaphor in the Gemara in Brachos Daf Tesvav Amud Aleph. The Gemara there says, somebody who recites Kriya Shema without wearing tefillin, right? You know that you're supposed to, men are supposed to have the tefillin on when they say Kriya Shema. The Gemara says, if somebody recites Kriya Shema without wearing tefillin, so first the Gemara says, you know what they're doing? It's ki'ilu made edus sheker, like they're testifying falsely. Why? Because in the Shema itself, it says, you should put your tefillin on, and you're saying the words without doing it? So if you say the words without doing what you're saying you should be doing, that's like you're testifying falsely. You're like you're being made edus sheker. But then Rabbi Yochanan comes and says, and this is what I want to focus on. Rabbi Yochanan says, somebody who recites Kriya Shema without wearing tefillin wrapped on their arms, ki'ilu hikriv ola below mincha ubelon isachim. It's as though you brought a korban without the mincha offering, without the flour offering, and without the nesach, without the wine offering. The exact two korbanos that we're speaking of, that we don't really understand the placement in Chumash. What's the significance of saying Kriya Shema without tefillin? And the allegory to that is like bringing a korban without ola and nesachim, a korban without the mincha, without the nesach, without the flour offering and the wine offering. What's the significance of the flour offering? What's the relationship between the flour offering and wine offering on one hand and the korban, the animal korban on the other hand? And how does that relationship also, the same relationship between saying Shema and not wearing tefillin? Let me share with you the incredible insight that Rav Kook suggests. The world exists on three levels. Maybe in fourth, but at least three levels. Animal, vegetable, and mineral. If I remember correctly, there's a song from Pirates in Penzance. Those of you might be familiar with the play. Animal, vegetable, and mineral. So the goal is to serve Hashem with animal, vegetable, and mineral. You serve Hashem with an animal, you bring a korban. It could be there's a fourth level of existence, the human being who speaks, that's a higher level of existence, maybe even a higher level, that of Klal Yisrael, but okay, putting that aside. You have animal, you're makriv a korban. And then you have a mizbeach adama on which you makriv the korbanos, that's mineral. And then you also have to serve Hashem with vegetable, that middle stage. So we bring something from that grows from the ground. We bring the mincha, the flour offering, we bring the yayin nesach, the wine libations. And this way we're able to serve Hashem in a full, rich experience of animal, vegetable, and mineral. Excuse me. Now what happens if a person would serve Hashem only with an animal? I say, I want to serve Hashem in the highest way. I'll use the highest level of service of Hashem. I'll use an animal. I don't want to use something lowly, something that's domain, that's tzomeach, something lowly. I don't want to use something lowly in the service of Hashem. That's not appropriate for Hashem. That's pasnish for Hashem. I'm just going to use the greatest, the top thing. Well, that's not a full service of Hashem. Now, keep that in mind, and let's shift to the other image of a person who recites Kriya Shema, Mekabel Malchus Shemayim, without the tefillin on. When a person recites Kriya Shema and is Mekabel Omachel Shemayim, they're serving Hashem with their mind, with their mouth and mind, with the highest human faculties that we have. Tefillin is not a mitzvah that's done with the mind. It's not a mitzvah that's done with the mouth. To the contrary, you take one hand and you tie it on the other hand. It's the most hand-oriented mitzvah that there could be. It's done on one by one hand with the other hand. Somebody was once telling me that he was walking in a place, he had to give a shir on Shabbos in a neighborhood that he wasn't familiar with. And there was no Erev there. Or he didn't hold for the Erev, whatever the situation was, maybe there was no Erev. So he had a great solution. He wrote the directions in pen on his arm. I know, we don't like, you tell the kids that you're not supposed to tattoo yourself, you shouldn't write on your arm, but tattooing is one thing, writing on the arm is something else. There's no way to write on your arm. There's no way to write on your body. It's not a nice thing that we want our kids to do all the time, but there's nothing usher about it. So he wrote the directions on his arm. And then jokingly, he told me, Rabbi Orlean, you know why I wrote it on my left arm? So I was trying to think, why would he write it on his left arm? What is it about the left arm that he should write the directions on his left arm? Something to do with tefillin on the left arm, so he should write the directions on his left arm? I didn't understand. He said, very simple, because I'm a righty, so I write with my right hand. So I write with my right hand, of course I have to write on my left hand, because I can't write with my right hand on my right hand. So the tefillin is the most hand-oriented mitzvah there is. You tie it on one arm with the other arm. You tie it on one hand with the other hand. If somebody, says the Gemara, says Kriya Shema, is Mekabel Omalcha Shemayim with their mind, says the words of Kriya Shema with their mouth, V'lo Manach Tefillin, and they don't do that other aspect, that other dimension of Avodas Hashem, that is one of the hands, you know what that's exactly like? Says the Gemara, as Rav Cook is explaining it, that's exactly like bringing a korban, bringing that animal, the korban ola, bringing the zevach, the korban of the animal, without bringing that lower level, that lower dimension of existence, without a mincha of the wheat offering, without the nesachim of the wine offering. Because a person thinks they don't want to serve Hashem with the higher things, with the animal kingdom, not with the lower things. That's just like trying to serve Hashem with your Kriya Shema, with your Kabbalah Zama HaShema, without the actions that Hashem also wants of us. This is an incredible idea. It's an incredible idea because it helps us realize that there's so many different aspects of Avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem is not just by davening, just not by learning Torah, not just by things that happen in our mind. Everything that we do with in our daily life, with our hands, with our bodies, with our feet, wherever we walk, wherever we go, whenever we're sleeping, when we're eating, if we only have the right kavana that we're doing it so that I could serve Hashem better, we have the opportunity to serve Hashem not just with, with what people think is the cathedral of the mind and the power of speech. That's, of course, the highest level of human existence. But our bodies and our hands and what we do with ourselves is no less able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the yesod of why Hashem wants us to bring the menachos and nesachim, not just the korban olah of the animal. That's why Hashem wants us to serve not just with the Kriya Shema and with the Kabbalah Samach Hashem, but also with the tefillin. With that in mind, we could come full circle and understand exactly what was happening with the Pesuk in Chumash, that right after the Chet HaMeraglim, immediately thereafter, what do we have? The mitzvah of Nesachim and the mitzvah of Menachos. Let me explain. Based on everything that we just said, what was the Chet HaMeraglim? So many explanations are offered, but one of the common explanations is that the Meraglim made a little bit of a mistake. They had good intentions on a certain level, but they made a little mistake. They saw Klal Yisrael living this supernatural, divine existence in the Midbar. Klal Yisrael had no responsibilities, were able to focus on Avodas Hashem and focus their mind and their hearts and their mouths just on davening, learning, connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu all day. They had no responsibilities to till the soil, to harvest, to plow. And the Meraglim said, we were successful in this model. Hashem just, drops the man min hashamayim, and we don't have to work, we don't have to go to work, we don't have to, iron the clothes, we don't have to do washes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of everything for us. It's like you go to a hotel, everything's included, you don't have to, the entertainment is on site, and you don't have to pay the tips, and the drinks are included, and the food is included, and everything's included. You don't have to do anything else. So that was what we had, the experience of the Midbar. And the Meraglim were terrified. We're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, and we're going to be able to serve Hashem if we have to till the soil and plant wheat and grind bread and go to work and make our shoes and get the leather to make shoes and sew clothing? new clothing every year to fit new, you know, as we grow and as the clothes get grown, we're going to have to make new clothing. We don't have to do all that in the Midbar. And that was their mistake. That was all what Chid HaMeraglim was all about fundamentally, was the fear and the desire to serve Hashem only with our higher human faculties and not with their bodies. And not with getting their hands dirty with the holy soil of Eretz Yisrael. And not getting their shoes dirty while they're planting whatever they have to plant. And that's why right after Chet HaMeraglim, where they made this mistake, what mitzvah does HaKadosh Baruch Hu give them? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them the mitzvah of Menachos. I want you to plant. I want you to know that you could take wheat, you could till the soil, you could harvest, you could plow, you could do all the malachas that involve with planting and growing and grinding and producing and baking and producing breads. I want you to do that to serve me. And I want you to go and plant a vineyard and tend to the vineyard and tend to the grapes and crush them and make wine to pour on the Mizbeach to serve me. That's not a problem. It's not a lower level of service of Hashem when you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael. To the contrary, you will be fulfilling the full dimensions, all the multiple layers of dimensions of Avodas Hashem. The Avodas Hashem that you have now in the Midbar, which is just like the Avodas Hashem of Kabbalah, Samach, Shemaim, Risayim, Kriya Shema. And then by going to Eretz Yisrael, you'll be able to do it with your hands also, just like Tefillin. You'll be able to serve Hashem with your hands by working the land, by making bread, by growing grapes, by making wine. And that is going to be the tikkun to the Chet HaMeraglim. That recognition that you could serve Hashem not just with our higher faculties, but with every aspect of our lives. I think the lesson for our lives is profound. And that is that we often and too often relegate our service of Hashem to the times that we have dedicated to learning, the times we have dedicated to davening, and the rest of the day is our life. And that's so untrue. That's so false. Because the Rambam writes in his Hakdama to Shemona Prakim that a person could have kavana in every aspect of their lives and to elevate every aspect of their lives. That's the concept of Bechol Derechecha De'ehu. The Rambam says that when a person goes to sleep, they shouldn't sleep because they're tired. Of course you're tired, but you sleep because you have the intent that tomorrow you could wake up refreshed, tomorrow you could wake up and serve Hashem and daven better and do chesed. A person goes to work, they should go to work not just because it's time to go to work. They should go to work so they have the opportunity to provide for themselves and to take care of a family and to take care of their and to be able to give tzedakah and to be able to give ma'aser and to be able to pay for tuitions, whatever else a person could do with their wealth. All the activities that a person does, a person eats. You don't eat because you're hungry. I mean, you eat when you're hungry, but not because you're hungry. And there's a big difference. If you eat because you're hungry, then you're just satisfying your needs. If you eat when you're hungry, but the because is so different, the because is a very elevated, sublime purpose, oh, so I could have the strength to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I could have the strength to do mitzvahs. So I could be happy and in a good mood so that I could smile at people and call people and make other people feel good. That's the yisod of Bechol Derechecha De'ehu. That's the lesson of Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara in Brachos Tezvav Amud Aleph, who says that it's not enough to serve Hashem with saying Kriya Shema. You have to say Kriya Shema while you're wearing tefillin. You have to have the service with your mind and mouth and mind, but also with your hand and other hand. And that's what Chazal are teaching us. That's what Hashem is teaching us. That right after we violated it and we suffered Chet HaMeraglim and we got the 40-year sentence to be in Eretz Yisrael in the Midbar for so long, don't worry, there's a promise that you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael and there you're going to fix the mistake and you're going to plant the plants and you're going to harvest the plants and you're going to plow the fields. And you're going to be a Karban Mincha, you're going to be a Karban Nesachim with the wine and with the flour. We should be Zocha to learn the lesson, to learn from the mistakes of the Meraglim, and to learn the lessons of the Nesachim and the Menachos that Hashem is trying to teach us, to serve Hashem with all aspects of our lives. And Amen, Kein Yehi Ratzon. I want to thank you all for joining us. It's good to see everybody.